Welcome to the Intuitive Awakening Podcast. I'm your host, Deanna Riddick. I'm an author, teacher, and eternal seeker of truth. I am on a mission to spread metaphysical knowledge to everyone in an effort to help them awaken to universal truth. If you want to learn about spirituality, the occult, and all things related to metaphysics, you are in the right place. Hi, everyone. Thank you so much for tuning in for today's episode. I wanted to preface this episode by saying we did have some audio issues, and that is extremely disappointing. I didn't realize that my voice was insanely low, but you can clearly hear the responses of Virgil being channeled through my sister. Please just turn up your headphones so you can hear me. I think you should still be able to, and I hope that this is helpful. If people are really struggling to hear this episode, I can definitely transcribe the episode and put it up on my website so you can read the responses. Thank you again for listening, and I hope you all enjoy the episode. All right, so as I was thinking about an episode, I thought it would be interesting to ask about Atlantis. So I'm very curious to see what Virgil has to say about Atlantis. So if he's digging right now in the Akashic Records, tell him to dig deep. So I was wondering, I do believe, but did Atlantis actually exist, thousands of years ago?
He says, of course, stories come from somewhere, correct?
Right.
And so yes, it did exist many, many years ago, of course, and it was destroyed. But how was it destroyed? Okay, so it's like almost like how we are today, he says.
Like we destroyed.
Like greed and selfishness. Always wanting more for themselves. If that makes sense, I don't know.
No, that makes complete sense. So can we say that they were like a super advanced civilization like we kind of are today?
Yes, they were.
What about like as far as technology, were they that advanced?
Well, for them, they knew how to use the power, I guess, of Earth itself versus us, where we use, what they say, alien technology, but I don't know if that's true. For them, they knew how to use, Earth energy.
Earth energy.
Which was ultimately, I think, what destroyed them.
So what does he mean by Earth? So obviously he's not saying like the way we're using like gas and oil, like, we're consistently destroying the Earth, but there's another type of energy from the Earth that was used, such as...
Yeah, so it like harnessed the power stuff for them. And so I can't even think of like how to describe Earth.
Wait, say that again. You cut out.
I said, like, the Earth's aura.
Oh, that's interesting, using the Earth's
aura. Yeah, if that makes sense. And when you use something too much, it kind of, it could crumble on top of it. It's like crumbling a cookie or something.
So they use the Earth's aura as, like, a power source. Power source, okay. Is that something that you think, or that he thinks, will be that we'll discover in the next like few hundred years?
He says no, because they're not looking for it. our people today aren't looking for that. They are too busy looking beyond Earth for other sources.
That's super true too. Just as a question, since we are looking elsewhere, like outside of the Earth, just not just for exploration, but yeah, for potential sources of energy or what have you, does he see more space exploration in the next, I guess, 100 years with people going venturing further out into space?
He says, yeah, eventually humans will figure it out, but he says that it's not going to be on their own. They're not going to figure it out on their own. They'll have assistance from beyond Earth.
Not in Nadia and I's lifetime, right? That's interesting.
It could, Dina, it technically could be maybe if we live another 30, 40 years.
That's a tall order. Oh my God. Okay. Hold on. I'm just writing some notes here. Okay.
So, but also, Dina, I also heard, but be wary because not everybody that offers help is coming to help.
Thank you, Virgil. It's always super helpful. So just since he added that, I'm going to ask a very strange question. And Nadia, I'm sure you've heard Dad talk about this, so I'm still going to bring it up. So, you know, Dad really believes in, like, well, what we believe as aliens, you know, who came to Earth before, and they're kind of like shapeshifters, or they engineered human beings. That's, you know, our dad's, like, that's the foundation of his belief about the human race. So when Virgil's talking about we get assistance from other places, other beings, I guess, that will come here, and they're not all friendly, I mean, are these the same beings that have come before?
No, it's not the same. The ones from before are actually to help man and make some advances that they needed. But the ones that will come will make it seem like we're here to help you and make things better, but in a almost like a brainwashing kind of way. Like it'll be very enticing, but it won't necessarily be, you know, it'd be like the lesser of two evils kind of thing.
Gotcha. And I guess my question is why the Earth? Like, you know, we're so tiny in, you know, a galaxy of millions of galaxies. Why would they choose a place like Earth? And I'm sure there are other beings inhabiting millions of planets elsewhere.
He says, oh, you're so funny to think it's just Earth.
I like how he reminds me how stupid I am. Or how small my thinking is, just because, yes, it is very, he's correct, very limited thinking there. It's just curious, I guess it's just curious to me because in our, and yes, you know, forgive me for saying this, but yes, you know, we were raised Christian, so we, you know, the earth is like the center of everything, and, you know, we have Jesus and God, and there's this power or this power struggle, good versus evil, and we think it's only happening here, but like you said, it's probably some things are happening elsewhere. I can't say what it is. I don't know, but you know, it would certainly disrupt people's belief system if beings from other places came to Earth.
Yes, but he also says it, just as in Earth, the power struggle for good and evil, light versus dark is everywhere. That's just the way the universe is. The opposite is, I mean, you know, you have one, you have to have the other.
Right. Like the villain and the hero.
Correct. light and dark, and you know, that's just the way it is everywhere. So if you just think that we here are having our own struggles, it's not the case.
I understand. Well, this definitely was not the way I thought this conversation was going to go today.
Should we double back now to Atlantis?
Atlantis, yes, because that really, like, well, then that makes me question. So if there are, not if, I know there are beings, like, all over the universe, and those beings that may not have good intentions obviously do contact us sometimes, even when, let's say, we're trying to contact our spirit guides, or when we're channeling other, you know, beings, they're not necessarily for our highest good, correct?
Correct.
So interesting. I don't know, it kind of blows my mind in that way. How would you know then? How would you know that they're, I don't know why the word imposter just came into my mind. How would you know that they're like an imposter, if you will?
What do you mean, as far as contacting or channeling somebody?
Yeah, how would you know that they aren't who they say they are? Because there are many people who say they've channeled Jesus, right? We see all these books and all these other planet or beings from, I don't know, the Pleiades or whatever. How do we know? Like,
he says, like, an internal radar, like, you kind of just, it feels off.
Yeah.
And he says, it feels off, like, you feel like, so if someone says they're channeling Jesus, in the beginning, they'll be super excited. But then something will just feel like, this isn't right.
Right.
But it's like you really have to know yourself and be in tune.
True. That's super interesting.
I don't know about star seeds.
Oh, Nadia, that's weird because I never said star seeds. So then, if I were to ask stupid questions, since we have him here. It's my own personal belief, which is probably wrong, that all of us come from different parts of the universe or the multiverse or whatever you want to call it, like different galaxies or star systems or what have you. Is that kind of true?
Maybe at one point, yes. But as with anything, it's like, migrating, or I think that's the word, migrating, or I'm going to stay with migrating because that's what I heard.
Okay. Migrating to other.
Yes.
Okay.
Other systems. So say you started off in one system, family, your soul family, star family leaves that system and comes to here. Okay. You're still have like that quote unquote stardust.
Okay.
Or like your genetic. I guess that'd be the same.
Gotcha. Interesting. So then, okay, let's just, as a wacky example, let's say that Nadia came from, I'm just thinking, I don't know, the Pleiades, just as an example, and then she migrated with her soul group, soul family to another, I don't know, system or galaxy or what have you, and now she's here on Earth having this experience, growing. Wouldn't it be that her family or her soul group would be trying to help her or contact her on the other side? Or would it be easy for you to contact, or for her to contact them if she wanted to have a discussion or had questions or gain some understanding? Does it work like that, kind of?
A person can actually contact someone in deep meditation. They may also, during sleep, mm-hmm. in dreams you don't remember. But yes, it is possible for them to contact you for you to contact them and give you knowledge that, you know, sometimes stuff just pops into your head and you don't know how you know it.
Right. So then what about, okay, so then two questions here. Do our spirit guides come from our original, I guess, star system, or come from the same star system?
Not necessarily. It's a learning thing. Both you, they learn from you, you learn from them.
And what about, for example, in this lifetime, Nadia and I are sisters. Do we come from the same star system?
At one point, yes. And then as, gosh, it's, what does it say? Okay. It's like, yes, at one point, but then, you know, how people get married and they move and they have kids and they move on. It's kind of like that. They branch off and then eventually, once again, you come back.
Gotcha. Makes sense. Okay. That's interesting. Okay. So then, so originally my questions today were about Atlantis. So I'm trying to like come back. I'm trying to, I guess, kind of come back to that. I don't know. I think my mind is like blown just because him opening up this door about the potential for there to be like these off planet aliens or whatever you want to call them to come here and, I don't know, be of assistance, at least, you know, from the outside, it looks that way, but they have other intentions. That would really shift everything on this planet. That would just change everything. That would change people's belief systems. It would change so much.
He says not necessarily change that. It would change, but you would have the extremists that believe that God, of course, still God, and that this is the coming of the end of time, the rapture. And so you would have that far right, right? And then you'd have the far left people who are embracing these beings and, you know, like the government head, the top officials of the government, wanting the power that they're offering them.
Right.
And then the people in the middle just trying to figure out what really is going on.
So then with these beings in particular, I imagine that communication, I mean, obviously they're way more advanced than we could ever be if they can make it here. And they have a technology that we don't, but I imagine that communication for them would also be telepathic in a way.
Yes, it would be telepathic. I also feel like the people that show up here will not be what you think they're going to be like.
What do you mean?
More humanoid than you think they are.
Okay. So then
yeah.
It would be difficult to distinguish between them and us.
Humanoid. It's not going to be necessarily hard to distinguish the difference. There'll be features that will look human-ish, okay. But you will tell that they are not human.
Gotcha. So is it fair to say that our current systems of government on the planet already have an awareness of these beings or knowledge of them?
They have knowledge of beings, but I'm not sure they have knowledge of these beings. What I see, which is crazy, is tall, very tall, very thin. I see tall, skinny fingers. And their eyes are big, but not like what you think is alien big eyes.
Gotcha. So I think I may have asked this earlier, but what would be the purpose of coming here? Like, what would they want?
Our resources. Our resources and when I say enticing, it's like, let's go visit another star system.
Oh,
You know what I mean?
that's
Like,
too enticing for
almost
me.
like enslavement, but not really, in a way that you volunteered to do it.
Gotcha. Interesting. Okay. But what's interesting is if these aren't the ones that came before, then what happened to the ones that came before? Why would they not return to kind of like check up on the civilization?
They do come to check up, but they just do it quietly.
So, many people in the metaphysical community believe that, yes. If you want to call them aliens, whatever, came before, and they are the ones who brought like all this knowledge to, let's say, ancient Egypt, Atlantis, all these other ancient civilizations. Would that be a proper assessment, or way before that?
In some cases, yes, it did happen that way.
Interesting.
I would say yes.
Okay. Gotcha. So these other beings, are they constantly like I guess we can call them the negative ones. Are they like constantly like trying to communicate with people down here that are like channelers, if you will, those who can do things like that, or?
Yes, they are. But I just think, let's see, what is he saying? That it's to see their mindset.
Okay. And so spirit guides, like your guide, my guide, all these other guides are watching, even let's say the angels and archangels. So they're watching all of this happening, but they can't interfere.
Correct. They can't interfere. They can only help guide you to make the right decision if you listen and ask.
Interesting. Okay. Well, it's definitely some food for thought about these beings. Like, can I ask a very stupid question? I don't know why this just came, but was there ever like a mixing of like the human, genetics with their genetics?
No.
No mixing.
And he says not yet.
Interesting. Okay. Wild.
It is wild.
That's weird. I don't know. It just, I don't even know what to think about that. That's just crazy. So, going back, and you'll have to tell me when you get close to your destination point, Nadia, because I didn't want to keep you on too long. So kind of going back to using like the Earth's aura for energy, is that something to use like let's say, I don't know, to power like technologically, like to power vehicles, think like a battery in a way, or
Yes. So I see it like powering vehicles, putting lights in there, in the streets, I guess, if you call them streets, roads, in their homes, illuminating their homes. Just giving and providing, providing energy for things that they need to use to live an everyday life.
interesting. So what about, okay, so going back to Atlantis here, because that was my intention today. So we know that they were advanced technologically. We know that they became, I mean, like everywhere else, you know, become corrupted and then, you know, self-destruct essentially. But what about their healing technology? Because that's something that I'm interested in. I know there's been an abundance of new healing methods like, you know, Reiki and crystal healing and sound healing and things like that. But what other types, if they had anything additional, what other types of healing did they use during their time?
So energy healing was one of the big things for sure. However, it was almost like self-healing, like you're like in your mind, your brain. It's weird. Like like a meditation.
Okay. Like they would see whatever organs or whatever needed to be healed, they would just send like the light there, they would see it healed, or
it's like if I close my eyes and I know that I have swelling in my ankle, I look at it, I concentrate on the swelling, I concentrate on what it looked like before it was swollen. I concentrate on what maybe I sprained it. Mm-hmm. Healing the connective tissue. I'm like, Dina, I can see all this. This is crazy. Like seeing the tissue come back together and it's being healed. And for those who couldn't do it, other people would help train you to do it for yourself, but they would do it for you.
And okay, so let's say that just as an example, you're trying to like, yes, heal your swollen ankle. If you were to visualize this in your mind and seeing it all come back, how long does it take for it to be, for it to go back to normal? How many times do you have to do this meditation?
What do you mean for it to work?
Yeah.
Generally the one time, depending if you're really good at it or not.
And this is something available for us humans today, this technique?
The self-healing?
Yeah.
That is a good question. Honestly, he says it's possible today, but it's not like it died with them.
Oh.
So it like energy healing in general, all the stuff that people do, the quantum touch healing or Reiki or all that sound therapy, is kind of on the same lines as that. Mm-hmm. But it's not exactly the same. They were able to use their brain in ways that we aren't.
Why wouldn't that be? I mean, is there no possibility to learn this? Like, let's say, as an example, there was somebody who wanted to learn how to do that today. Is there nobody on the earth who can train that, or not even a spirit guide that would come forward to teach them?
He said your best bet would be finding a spirit guide from that had been around that time, that was a guide to someone else at that point. I was able to watch and learn. But people have to, in order to even have this ability, people have to ask for it, you know? Like, do they even know to ask?
Right. That's
for
true.
This kind of teaching of healing. New methods, you know?
Yeah.
I feel like we are given certain information, but of course, not without asking.
True, true. Interesting, huh? Were there any limits on that? Meaning, let's say like you used an example of like a swollen ankle, but what if like your arm broke, or I don't know, you have like heart disease? Are there any limitations?
He says, of course, there's always limitations. You can't bring somebody back from the dead. And if a kidney is old and going to fail, it's going to fail no matter what, how much healing you try to do.
Right.
A heart's going to give out no matter how much healing you try to do to extend it. But however, they're, because they were consciously aware of their bodies and they took care of themselves, they lived a long time.
Not like us. We like pig fat and grease.
He said they did have stuff that they did indulge on, but it wasn't like, yeah, it's not like today, but they were very consciously aware of their body and taking care of their bodies and, you know,
interesting.
And that, yeah.
So what about, okay, so I have a personal interest in this, what I'm about to ask, like, since they could heal that way, did they still heal with crystals? But did they still heal with, let's say, flower, like using flowers in, I don't know, tonics, essences? Did they do things like that for healing as well?
So they would use those for like, oh gosh, like skin. Or hair, those kind of things. And yes, crystals were still a big part of their thing, you know, their
healing
use. They used their healing. Yes, they used them. Yeah, they used them in every kind of way.
Would he say that many people who are on Earth today had a lifetime in Atlantis?
He says he can't say like many. That would be inaccurate.
Okay.
There has been some, yes. You know, Earth has a lot of people. And yeah, not a handful.
Oh, that's not many.
No, a handful. Atlantis was big, but you have to think how many people are on Earth now.
Right. Exactly. Huh. That's very interesting. So does he see, like you said, like energy healing, all this stuff, does he see this being like very normalized in about 100 years, 50 years, or will it take a lot longer?
He says it will take a lot longer because modern medicine.
Right. And also, I guess, because the aliens are going to come abduct us anyway, so what does it matter?
For every one person who believes in, you know, healing in a natural way, there's always that person who will try to convince you that a doctor is better.
Right, that's true. Well, what about, so this might be a foolish question, but I'm just trying to think holistically here. So since he said, you know, we use sound as healing, we use energy, we use flowers and plants and everything we can, you know, cultivate here. What about energy from the sun, or what about energy from the moon? Are these sources of energies that could possibly be healing in any kind of way?
Well, the moon and like everything gives off an aura.
Right.
So, yes, if you know how to harness the moon's energy, sure.
At an individual level?
You can use that. What was that?
At an individual level? Like each person?
He says, yes, people, you know, people do it all the time, which I see witches, but that's what I'm being shown. So there's that.
Interesting.
But it's not just that. Like, we use that to clean crystals.
Right.
Correct. Make moon elixirs.
Right.
So, yes, and people could go further and use planets as well.
Look at Virgil giving off book ideas. I'm just kidding. Seriously. I think that's very interesting. So what about tapping in? I think there is that part of me that's still a little skeptical about certain things. So like, just as he said, tapping into the moon's energy and really working with it. I mean, it is a living being. It is a living entity. So communicating with the moon is that's what we're doing. If you're doing something, like you said, using the moon to help create an elixir or something like that.
Correct. Hmm. You're using the moon's energy, you know, is the essence. That's a good word. Essence.
Interesting. Okay. Well, I think that's super helpful. That's definitely given me food for thought, and I'm sure everyone else. I just wanted to say thank you to Virgil for a very interesting, unexpected conversation, but I think it's super helpful for people and very appreciative. So tell him I said thank you.
He says, you're very welcome anytime.
Okay. Well, thank you so much, Nadia. I appreciate it.
You're welcome.